Welcome to the LRIS Q&A podcast. This podcast features questions on public safety, labor, and employment issues submitted to us via our website, www.lris.com. Questions are answered by LRIS Director and noted labor attorney, Will Aitchison. LRIS and Will Aitchison do not provide any legal advice. Listeners to this podcast and visitors to the LRIS website should consult with their own lawyer for legal advice. LRIS is not a law firm, and our employees are not acting as your attorney. The information contained in this podcast and on LRIS.com is general legal information and should not be construed as legal advice to be applied to any specific factual situation. We're going to do something different with today's podcast. Instead of our normal Q&A format, Will is going to provide an analysis of last week's election results as they pertain to public safety labor issues. Take it away, Will.
So what happened in the November 6th election that impacted public safety labor? Well, in general, it was not a good election for public safety labor organizations. At the local level, there were several widely viewed elections that did not come out the way labor organizations would want. There were some exceptions, of course, but the general proposition is that this was not a friendly election. Let's start, though, at the federal level. At the federal level, the election, re-election of President Obama has to be viewed as a significant plus for public safety labor organizations, really for three reasons. First of all, President Obama and Governor Romney took completely opposite positions on whether or not there should be a federal public safety collective bargaining law. President Obama has supported a statute that has been working its way through Congress for many years. Governor Romney opposed the statute and thought that collective bargaining should be a matter of local option. Secondly, there has been pending in Congress as well a Public Safety Employees Bill of Rights. This would be similar to police officer or firefighter bills of rights that exist in about 17 states around the country. Once again, the two candidates took opposed positions, and President Obama supported the enactment of a Public Safety Officer's Bill of Rights. Governor Romney opposed the measure, and again, Governor Romney's opposition was that a Bill of Rights should be a matter of local option. The third reason that the re-election of President Obama will have a more positive effect on the labor union side of the equation is because of the activities of the Department of Labor. In particular, the Wage and Hour Division of the Department of Labor. This is the entity of the Department of Labor that enforces the Fair Labor Standards Act and promulgates regulations under the FLSA. Under President Obama, the Department of Labor has been much more active than it has been in recent years, bringing lawsuits on behalf of employees and issuing a series of either regulations or comments to regulations that generally have gone the opposite direction of the way that the Department of Labor went on many issues under former President Bush. One can reasonably expect that the more activist Department of Labor will continue in President Obama's second term. Then, of course, there's the matter of the Health Care Reform Act. Governor Romney had pledged to seek the repeal of the Health Care Reform Act. President Obama, of course, supports the Health Care Reform Act, and it looks very much like there will be, at least for the next 4 years, no meaningful threat to the implementation of all of the provisions of the Health Care Reform Act. There's not too much in the way of an immediate impact on public safety labor relations owing to the Health Care Reform Act. To be sure, there are some changes that are to be phased into effect in 2014. For example, there will be a ban on health insurance policies denying coverage for adults for pre-existing conditions. 2014 will also be the year that we see the individual mandate go into effect for health insurance and the creation of health insurance exchanges. But generally speaking, public sector labor or public safety labor members are already covered under one health care plan or another, and the individual mandate really won't impact them all that much. The biggest impact, I think, that we can expect to see from the Health Care Reform Act won't occur until 2018, when the so-called Cadillac tax on high premium health care policies go into effect. More on that in a later podcast that we're going to do. So, summary, on the federal level, the re-election of President Obama is likely to have more of a beneficial impact on public safety labor than public safety management. Now, what happened at the local level? And I'm going to point to elections in four states as an illustration of the trend that I think has been in place for several years, actually, of elections favoring employer side interests, or even if not properly characterized as employer side interests, as going against the interest of public safety labor members. Let's start with a relatively smaller election. This is a ballot measure in Knox County, Tennessee. Knox County is Knoxville's county, so this is a fairly large, fairly metropolitan county. And the voters, by a large margin, 74% to 26%, elected to close a police officer pension plan that they had only created 4 years before, created by only 500 votes 4 years before. This was a pension plan that was relatively generous. It allowed public safety officers, police officers, to retire with 30 years of service at up to 75% of their two highest years' salary, at a cost of living escalator of 3% for retirees. That plan is now history. It will, of course, be grandfathered for the employees who have worked under the plan, but the voters' mandate is to go back to the drawing board and to create a new plan that is less generous. It's unclear now what that new plan will look like, whether it will be a defined benefit or a defined contribution plan, but we do know that the direction is that it will be a less generous plan. Then let's turn to California and let's spotlight San Jose in California, where we had the third election in 3 years in which public safety labor unions played a significant role. The first election was back in 2010, where the voters elected to repeal binding arbitration as the last step in the bargaining process. California state law only requires employers to meet and confer. So in other words, at the end of the bargaining process under state law, the employer can unilaterally implement its last best offer. But California state law also allows local jurisdictions the option of having binding arbitration as the last step in the negotiations process. And San Jose had been one of those employers that had adopted binding arbitration. In 2010, the voters repealed it. It was a very hard-fought election. The police and fire unions in San Jose contributed a lot of money and a lot of leg power to the campaign to continue binding arbitration. But in the end, the city won, and won by a relatively comfortable margin. In 2011, they were back at it, the police and fire on one side and the city of San Jose on the other. And this time the topic was closing out a pension plan and creating a new, less generous plan. Once again, the voters approved it. Once again, a very hard-fought election. This time, on November 6, 2012, it was a much smaller race. It was a race over several city council positions, and in particular, the San Jose Police Officers Association was supporting challengers to existing council members who had taken positions that the POA viewed as unfavorable to the POA. In one election alone, the POA spent over $200,000 supporting a challenger to an existing council person. The bottom line is that the existing council slate won, and there's now, at least reported in the news, apparently an election challenge internal to the POA, where someone is a POA member is challenging the incumbent president and is running on the platform that the POA needs to revise its approach to politics, that it needs to discharge its political consultants and basically build a more positive relationship with the city. So it's safe to say there's a bit of unrest in San Jose right now in the police union resulting from this last election. Then let's turn over to Montgomery County, Maryland. Montgomery County is an urban county right outside of Washington, D.C. Very, very hard-fought ballot measure in Montgomery County. This is one where the county passed an ordinance that would repeal what's known as effects bargaining. What effects bargaining is a bargaining where the employer is obligated to negotiate not over the decision itself to do something, a decision that might not be a mandatory subject of bargaining, for example, the decision to lay off employees, but would be obligated to bargain with the union over the effects of that decision and would have to complete the bargaining before implementing the decision. Effects bargaining is a normal feature in state-to-state bargaining, but in Maryland, jurisdictions don't bargain on a statewide level. They bargain on a county-by-county or city-by-city level under local ordinances. And Montgomery County, about 30 years ago, had established an ordinance that called for effects bargaining. The county repealed that ordinance earlier in 2012. The FOP, which represents the county's police officers, gathered enough signatures to put the question on the ballot, and on November 6th, the county won and the FOP lost by a 17% margin. And thus, effects bargaining in Montgomery County is repealed. Maybe. And the reason I say maybe is the FOP has alleged that the county improperly, or individual county officers improperly, campaigned in favor of the repeal of effects bargaining, essentially doing so on the county's dime. And there has been complaints that have been filed and a lawsuit that is promised, and this may be an issue that stays with us for a long time. And the last state I want to visit is Michigan. In Michigan, there were a couple of statewide measures, and this is a good news, bad news situation as far as public safety and labor organizations are concerned. The bad news is that the most hotly contested of the statewide measures, a bill that would have put into place a constitutional amendment that would have forbidden the legislature from changing the state's collective bargaining bill. In other words, it would have frozen collective bargaining rights into the Constitution. That ballot measure, supported very heavily by unions, failed, and failed by a fairly large margin. The good news for public safety labor organizations is that the voters repealed a statute that had been in place for several years now that allowed the governor to appoint emergency financial managers. These emergency financial managers, in place in a number of Michigan cities, basically had the power to replace a mayor and a city council and could tear up existing contracts, including collective bargaining agreements. And there were lots of complaints in Michigan, not just from labor organizations, but from traditional politicians and in fact, a wide spectrum of complaints that emergency financial managers not only sort of struck at the heart of democracy, people in cities and counties could no longer control their own destiny, but were abusing their powers. By a relatively small margin, 52 to 48, the voters elected to repeal the law that created emergency financial managers. So the bottom line, I think, when you look at the state elections around the country, and there's many more that we could go over, but that would make this podcast far too long, is that we see the continuation of a trend that can be fairly characterized as a non-labor approach taken by the electorate when the electorate has the opportunity to vote on labor issues.
Thank you for listening to the LRIS Q&A podcast. We hope you found it entertaining and informative. Remember, the contents of this podcast should not be construed as legal advice. Please consult your own attorney for legal advice on any specific situation.